Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Please be advised that Gen X, This Is Why, contains adult language.
No. No one should have gotten an Emmy for this.
Hi, and welcome to Gen X, This Is Why, the podcast where we re-examine the sometimes bizarre and often scarring media of our shared childhood. My name is Amy. I'm a proud Gen Xer. Born in the wonderful year of 1977.
And I'm her sister Jenny, born in 1974.
Guys, I'm still sick.
Amy's still sick. I mean, to be fair, we're recording this well ahead of time. So God, yeah, I hope you're not still sick by the time this airs.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone for their patience, letting us take off the week of Christmas and New Year's. We were going to have to like record 6 episodes in a day or two.
Amy was losing her mind. Because she was sick. She couldn't talk. And then I'm going to be traveling. Actually, I'm probably traveling when this airs.
This is going to air January 9th.
Oh, it's the day I come back. Mm-hmm. It's so weird when we're like recording for the future.
Yeah. So Jenny's ass is going to be on a beach in Spain somewhere.
Amy was losing her mind over it. So.
Yeah, I was losing my mind. So, you know. Patreons, if you're paying for this shit, your schedule is not going to be affected. You'll still get your top shelf quality premium content of Rock of Love and My So-Called Life.
Well, and I feel like this is like a perfect end to The Little House. Like, we're just slogging on at like season 9. It's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of agree. Jen, big news in the Archer house. The girls got their driver's permits today.
Oh my God. No, I'm not getting in a car with them. No way. Yep.
They are going to be driving.
Oh God.
I know. And they do it so differently now in Pennsylvania. We've talked about this. Like now they need 6 months of training and 65 logged hours. And it's crazy.
Good. Because yeah. We just got in a car. And that was stupid.
Yeah, it was real dumb. Let me tell you guys what else was adding to my stress. So we're recording this December 23rd. I was going to host dinner tomorrow. I canceled that. Scratch that. Okay.
Is dinner canceled?
You're the only one coming.
Dad's not coming?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, he's going to come up on Christmas Day just to exchange gifts.
Okay.
Yeah, Mom's going to come. Mom's going to come.
Okay.
You know, typical hierarchy of motherhood. She doesn't give a shit about her own life.
Right.
And Dad is going to pop in on Christmas Day.
Okay.
Okay. So what has thrown a real wrench into things is we're in the bomb cyclone.
Oh, I know. It's like right now. It's so funny because I was coming to the studio to record today and I have friends who are in Boston. They're already in these temperatures. Like they're
at home. It's crazy.
It's like 4 degrees. And I'm like, so I put on like this crazy, like, what's it called? A gaiter that's like all warm and like hat. And like I put on my like down coat and I have a sweatshirt on and I walk outside. I'm in New York City. It's 42 degrees.
Yeah. It's like super warm.
It's not cold. I guess tonight it's going to get cold here.
Well, here's what's happening here. I woke up this morning. It was raining 45. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, quick girls, come on, come on, come on. Let's go get our permit. Let's go take your test. Did that. Literally within an hour of getting home, it is now 22 degrees snowing. And within the next few hours, it's going to be like 1 degree.
Wow.
So it's going to drop 40 degrees in the span of like 5 hours.
So tomorrow's still okay, you think?
I think you're going to be fine tomorrow.
Okay.
Like they're not cold. It's going to be cold, but there's no precipitation.
And it's not cold. It's not warm enough for anything to melt.
Right.
Yeah, so I won't be hitting the area until about 1 o'clock, so I think I should be okay.
I think you'll be fine. So yeah, it's just going to be like a chill Christmas. I did make the cookies.
Wait, you did this to just play the video game?
We're just going to play the video game and eat cookies. Are you on board?
Oh God, that's just what I need right before I go to Spain, is to like put on another 10 pounds.
Okay. We don't buy into diet culture on this show. Thank you very much.
Okay. How's that diet culture?
Eat all the cookies you want.
It's factual.
Eat all the cookies you want.
Oh, I fully intend to. I'm just saying what the consequences are going to be.
I literally could not eat the last couple of days because it's pointless. I can't taste anything. I can't, you know, whatever. You know how it is when you're clogged up, you can't taste.
Yeah.
So I've dropped like 6 or 7 pounds. So I just think I made room for the cookies.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Now I'm going to fill that space with cookies. All right, Jenny, let's get into this shit show. Guys, this is, we're going to cover Little House on the Prairie Season 9, Episode 16, Home Again Part 1. We have broken this episode. We didn't break it into two. It originally aired as two parts. But on Amazon, it is one episode. But it is an hour and a half. So you're going to have Part 1, and next week you'll have Part 2.
Well, and it's clear where it's broken. Like, it clearly was two episodes, if you watch it.
What gave it away? The ending credits in the middle of the episode?
Yes.
So, Jenny, why don't you read us a description? I don't know. Do they have descriptions of two parts?
It just says Charles is forced to address Albert's recent criminal behavior. The two of them take a trip back to Walnut Grove. And Charles is hopeful that he'll experience will straighten out his son.
Little scared straight from Pa, who it was lovely to see, might I add.
Oh, I knew you were going to be going crazy about this.
Yeah. Not digging the gray.
No?
No. Mm-mm.
Are you being ageist? I thought we weren't ageist.
No,
on
because
this
I really enjoy a nice silver, but I feel like he's a puffy gray.
It looks super dry too. Like he needs to get some oil in that hair.
Yeah. It looks like it's been in his basement with all the Marlboro smoke.
Yeah, it's probably a little yellow.
Yeah. It's got a yellow tint. Jenny, we open on Charles and we get a glimpse of his little retail job.
Yes, there's some continuity. Were you excited?
I was so excited. His boss, though, is a real dickbag, and he immediately starts hassling Charles about not upselling some rich dude. Yeah. Jen, do you remember the upsell?
Oh, and the greedy salesman trope in the Little House is like a thing.
Yeah.
The greedy capitalist.
Guys, again, I'm just going to apologize for my voice. You know, I'm just trying to get through. So, Mr. Janes wants Charles to stay late tonight and press some clothes. And Charles is like, dude, I work late every night. Come on. I want to go home to my wife, who we never see again.
Who we never see. No. Like, what the hell? I guess we know the whole story about this. She's not in season 9.
No.
But it's like super weird. I don't know how else they would have done it, though. To just be referring to her all the time and like we never see her. It's so stupid.
They couldn't recast her.
They couldn't recast her. They shouldn't have had these scenes in the city. They should have just like kind of cut to like they're going to Walnut Grove.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And like maybe there's some flashback or something about Albert stealing or there's some conversation that we know why they're back in Walnut Grove.
I mean,
it's like she's not there. She's not in town. So it's like, okay, that I can believe.
I mean, I get writing Mary off. I get that 100%.
Whatever.
But Carolyn, come on.
They should have just been like, they got a divorce and not explained it any further than that.
No, no way. So later a cop knocks on the door. Turns out Albert has been caught stealing again with the Morgan boys.
Been caught stealing, one of my favorite songs by Jane's Addiction.
You can't say that phrase without singing it.
I know.
The cop tells Charles this is Albert's third time. Can't get him out of it this time, dude.
Nope, not going to happen.
Charles tells Mr. Janes, like, I have to go. It's an emergency. I'll come in early tomorrow. I'll finish this. Jenny, one of our grandfathers was a presser in a garment factory. Yes, Grandpa B.
Hmm.
So he was an ironer.
Did you like how dressed up Charles was?
Charles looked really good. You know me, though. I prefer him shirtless, if possible.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, I'll take the, like, rickety little farm clothes any day over this.
Whatever.
So, Mr. Janes is like, if you fucking leave here, dude, you're done. You're going to lose this precious retail job. And Charles is like, goodbye, and walks out the door. Now we see a very active jail. Did you notice this?
The police station's like crazy.
Wow.
This is like just like Brooklyn Central lockdown.
There's tons of kids and parents in there, like parents looking disappointingly at their children like crying. I don't know what's happening. Charles finds the arresting officer. Let me know, Jenny, if I'm gasping, like if you hear me wheezing or gasping.
What?
I can't hear my own breathing.
Wow. Okay.
So, okay.
What the fuck?
I have to tell you, at night when I'm laying there, I hear this like voice emanating from my lungs. And it's like, ooh, ooh.
All right. What the fuck? I don't think I want this disease.
I think I'm possessed by something. Okay. So Charles finds the arresting officer and they're like, Albert needs to go to a workhouse for 3 to 5 years. Damn,
a workhouse doesn't sound fun. Doesn't sound good.
Is that like going to the colonies in The Handmaid's Tale? Like where you just go clam toxic sludge and you die?
Probably. Or like the British Empire. I have more on that later.
Charles says, what if I could get the shopkeeper to not press charges? And the cop's like, your son is never going to change, dude. He's a loser.
Right.
And Charles says, no, he has changed when we came to the city.
The city is so bad.
Da, da, da. Now we see Charles heading over to Gibson's and he's going to beg for this dude's leniency. Dude does not want to give in and Charles manhandles him. Like, I was waiting how long before Charles manhandles someone?
It's like, yo, bro. And then there's suddenly thunder.
There's what thunder, was that? There's rain.
Yeah.
And Charles grabs him and is like, you're talking about my son! My son! Yes, Jenny.
This is such overdramatic garbage. Written by, directed by Michael Landon. He's trying for that Emmy. Did he ever get an Emmy for this?
No, but I know people are like, Albert should have got an Emmy for this.
No one should have gotten an Emmy for this. Now they're BFFs, like, because the guy's like, oh, this dude's
no
crazy.
Wait, hold on, before we get there though, you're talking about my son. He tears up, love story music, Casio keyboard comes in, and then he whispers, I'm sorry. And he walks
so
away.
Bad, it's garbage. It's and so dude, bad
dude's like, hold up, come on in. Let's come have a cup in. Of coffee. Because it's dark out and we're getting ready for bed. Let's have some coffee.
Yeah.
All right. So as they sit and get to know one another, Charles tells this dude, the city has been a huge disaster.
No. So Charles is crying and talking about his small town. And I just have to say, if you can make it here, you'll make it anywhere, Charles. It's up to you.
Where is he?
You would swear he's in like fucking New York City. He's in Sleepy Eye, I think.
Oh, Jesus.
Or maybe in Minnesota. I don't know. Minneapolis.
Oh, Minneapolis. They told us. I just forget where. They're not in Chicago, though.
No, they're not. They're not.
Okay. Not like Chicago looks like this, but whatever. So dude is like, can you go back home and get your kid out of the city and away from these bad influences? And Charles is like, I can't because... unlike the last 10 times I emotionally blackmailed my family, I actually sold the farm this time. And my daughters have started school here, and my wife likes it here.
Daughters?
And the dude's like...
Do they still have Carrie?
Yeah. You think they just gave her away?
I don't know.
They have Grace. Little baby Grace.
Right. Forgot about Grace.
So dude asks...
And they have those adopted kids.
Oh, yeah. James and Cassandra.
So they move... Let me get this straight. They moved like 5 kids to the city. And somehow this is easier than earning a living in Walnut Grove.
Yeah, and I thought money was no option in Walnut Grove. Money was no obstacle? Did I say that right?
Obstacle. You didn't say it right.
I'm on the real drugs. The stuff you get from behind the counter.
You mean like Claritin D?
No, like the... Sudafed you get from behind the counter with the good stuff in it.
With the D.
Yeah, like the meth level cough medicine.
More on that later.
That's what I'm on. So dude is like, do you have family there he can live with? Okay, now I'm going to do my best here. Hey, everybody, I'm the last option.
The dead last option. I'm everybody's final option.
Charles is like, I have a daughter and a son-in-law. And Charles tears up and he's like, I don't want him to live away from us. And this dude is like, if he keeps robbing, he's going to be living away from you anyway.
And Charles is kind of like workhouse, El Monzo.
Now at home, Albert is sitting in the dark staring at a wall.
He's such a douchebag in this.
Oh my God. Charles tells him, look, dude, we've decided we're bringing you back to Walnut Grove. And Albert's like, I don't want to go.
Couple of things here. A, why does he just take off? I mean, he lived alone when he was six. Like, he can't take care of himself now.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And he's like a fucking adult. Like, how old is this guy? Like, 27?
Don't even get me started on how old him and Willie are. So Charles tells him, look, if you don't go with me, I'm going to go back down to Gibbons and insist he press charges.
Yeah, that was a good move.
And he's like, I will not sit back and let you. Now, I just want to say this is a statement every parent feels in their bones. I will not sit back and let you ruin my life, your mother's life, or your own. You're hurting all of us, and I'm not going to deal with it. And I just wrote, Carolyn must have a bomb-ass job wherever she is, because he could just quit his and take a week or two and go to Walnut Grove.
Apparently.
Now we have a throwaway scene with Harriet and Edwards fighting over Willie chewing tobacco.
Stupid.
Laura is there, as is Matthew, Edwards' new deaf son. Did you see him?
Where did he come from?
So we skipped the episode, but Edwards adopted him.
Okay.
He like, I don't know, I'm making this up. He came to town with the circus or something.
I feel like you're totally making this up.
And Edwards stole him.
Okay, Edwards abducted a deaf kid from the circus. That's what you're going with?
I guess.
But I'm impressed that Laura knows sign language and Braille. She's like the ADA's dream here.
Laura's a teacher. She knows everything.
Okay. No, and then she married Manly?
That was a misstep.
That's a giant misstep.
So Laura gets a phone call from Charles. Like, here's an example. Ma could have called her.
Right. That would have been a good place to put Ma.
And then, like, said, your dad's already on his way.
Yeah, that would have been a good place to at least put some kind of interaction with Carolyn in.
Now, later that night, she and, hey, everybody, are in bed eating popcorn.
I love to eat popcorn in bed.
I'm angry because, you know, we had a scene with Charles and Ma eating popcorn in, like, season two.
Eating popcorn in bed is a thing.
And it brings me back to those days, and I'm angry that I have to watch this trash.
Right. We should have watched it backwards. Like, Benjamin Button's this series.
Hey, everybody says, Laura's upset because she's like, Pa has always been so strong, but he sounded broken. He sounded lost. And hey, everybody says, boys go through rough periods. Like this when they're growing up. And Laura's like, did you? And he's like, well, not really, but I was a farm boy and that was different. Hey, everybody, I didn't grow up yet.
I think that's more the case. I think there's a lot of like arrested development in Walnut Grove.
I think that's all we're going to have of Hey Everybody's voice today, because that hurts.
Are you devastated? You can't do a Monzo's voice. So Let me tell you, everyone, Amy couldn't talk for days.
Nobody even heard from though, me for days.
I don't know. Mom said she heard from you a lot.
No, she didn't. Texting. Because I was texting her saying, I can't talk. Here's all the drama that's going on. Blah, 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 blah. So Laura's like, I can't believe Albert. He was such a nerd and so great. What the fuck happened? And I just wrote, the evil big city got him, Laura.
Yep. Yeah. The evil big city always had Albert, though. He always had 1 foot in.
True. Charles and Albert arrive, and Albert is moping. He's like every teenager on an all-expenses-paid vacation.
Yeah, I'm like, how can you tell if your kid's addicted to drugs? Like, because they just all act like this.
Like, my kid in Virginia Beach, who moped the entire time and didn't want to be there. Like, sorry, I'm giving you a beach vacation.
Right, yeah.
All right, now we
and
have
then you
whole,
wonder why I don't want them to come to my house.
We have a whole scene about the stagecoach being late. Stupid. One thing I have to say is, Laura goes into the hotel with the baby. Baby Rose, Jen, your favorite actress.
I know, she's amazing. She sits on the chair unattended.
She puts her on the chair and turns around, and every mother watching this went, oh! Because that kid could just have flopped right over.
No, not Baby Rose.
Thank God Hester Sue was there. I feel like Hester Sue would have caught it. I don't know.
She was opening the cabinet with some slick moves.
So Paul shows up and acts like he hasn't seen Baby Rose in 3 years, but there's like, it's only been a year and a half.
Well, Baby Rose is not 3 years old.
No, time means nothing here. And I just wrote, there's no way that Carolyn would have missed this trip.
No, there's no way. I'm not buying this at all.
But unlike the days when she had Nerd Mary, who is she going to leave in charge of those kids at home?
You know what he could have done? He could have, like, shot a whole thing, like, got a body double that has, like, you know, like, kind of the same height and everything as Ma, and just, like, always had her, like, from behind, like, where with her bonnet, God. Like, covering her face.
I think that would have been worse.
That would have been way worse, but ask I don't put it Mom past him.
Ask Mom about watching what finally got Mom to turn off Bold and the Beautiful for the first time in 30 years.
Oh, God.
Was during the pandemic, they were making out with mannequins.
No.
Yes.
Ew.
Yes. Laura comes out of the restaurant. She hugs Albert and he's stiff as a board. And I feel like this is Jenny when I give her a hug.
Yeah. At any exactly. time. But I'm like this consistently. But I'm like this consistently.
That's true. You're not up and
down. Albert's acting like a maniac.
Mm-hmm. At dinner that night, I want to do his voice so bad and I can't. Hey, everybody reveals that he do bought it. A lame horse.
Do it.
I'm not going to.
Is this like...
We won't get a second episode if I keep doing his voice.
Is this like when you bought the busted up car for your kids?
Oh my God. When I was going to, I didn't. But Jenny, he just burns money, this motherfucker. Like, now he's buying lame horses?
Like, for what? What can you even do with a lame horse?
Charles is like, this is a big risk, dude. And hey, everybody's like, I got this. It's fine. Albert's like moping and he can't eat and he snaps at Charles. And Charles looks at me. He's like, don't you raise your voice to me.
Yeah.
It's tense. Just then, Baker shows up, and while he's there, he wants to go see the lame horse. So everybody leaves except Albert, who immediately goes into Doc Baker's bag and takes like 10 packs of morphine.
Doc Baker apparently just carries around piles of morphine with him.
Guess so. Cut to the hotel room later that night, and Albert is dying laughing.
He's high as a motherfucking kite.
Oh, my God, about Duncan Nancy at the fair. He is dying laughing.
Pa has no clue that he's high. High as a kite.
This is why parents have to have some experience with drugs.
Yes. I would know immediately what was going on.
I would know immediately. Mom would not know.
Nope, she wouldn't.
No, she wouldn't.
I'd be like, what are you on right now?
Because I know 100%, you're on something. 100%. So he's dying laughing, which I did not like this energy at all. I prefer to this.
But it's that like, it's that I'm a crazy high addicted person energy.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Charles is like, wow, you certainly got better fast.
Still not suspicious at all. Mm-mm.
The next morning, Albert is starting school. Like, this is what I'm talking about. They just slip in and out of these lives. Charles is working at the mill. Suddenly there's like an open position.
This reminded me, I know, like, why couldn't he just be working there the whole time? Anyway, this reminded me of, like, do you remember when you would, I don't know if you did this, but I did this when I was away at college. I would come back for, like, Christmas or, you know, and I'd work for like a week at Sears.
Yeah.
Where I hadn't worked for like a year.
Yeah.
And like it would just come right back to you, like riding a bike.
But that's different because we were making really good money.
Yeah, because it was commission. They probably don't have any commission sales anymore, I bet.
No. Jenny, I'm wondering if Charles made good money at the mill. He must have.
Not good enough, apparently.
I don't know. There's a lot of problems here. Charles is talking to Edwards, and he's telling him how worried he is about Almanzo. And Charles says, I don't know where I went wrong. I mean, he was fine. I mean,
No, you know, he's talking about Albert, not Almanzo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, God, Almanzo. Oh,
I'm like, God. What?
Hey, everybody. I can't do it. So he's like, I don't know where I went wrong. Like, yeah, I worked late sometimes, but, you know, I spent the time with them that I could. And Edward says, we raise kids all wrong. The minute they get big enough to work, we should retire and let them take over. Jen, thoughts on Mr. Edwards?
Yeah, 100%. Well, I love how Edward's talking about how all the hard work and worry it takes to bring up youngins. Where the fuck are your kids, Edwards?
I know. Come on.
Where the fuck? And can we discuss that I think Charles has red eye makeup on?
Red eye makeup?
Yeah, he has like these lines under, like in the bottom of his eyes. They're like super red.
Oh, boy.
Or he's on drugs. I don't know.
Listen, maybe Edwards is like, it was too hard and I peaced out.
Yeah, but you can't do that after you have kids.
Well, here's my question. So say this happened. Say dad quit working when you were 25 and you were working at Guy's. Okay, your first like real job. Who's going to support dad?
Not me.
Exactly. So who's supporting these people?
I mean, as long as
so you have Social Security's going to start at 20 or 45?
I think as long as you can support yourself, like you shouldn't have to worry about other people. Like I just, you know, as long as our parents could support themselves in retirement, that's it. I don't need them to support me or leave anything for me. Just take care of yourself.
There's no way Edwards is going to be able to retire at 45 and take care of himself.
People, don't forget, people died much younger these days.
That's true. And like Social Security was not even around.
No, it wasn't a thing till the New Deal, Aim.
Till the New Deal. So Charles says, I'm at a point where I think I've lost him. And I felt this. Like, I have to admit, I teared up with this whole thing. Here like, we go. I felt this with every fiber of my being. He's like, I just don't. Like, there is a point where you lose control over your kids, where you're like,
Amy is feeling this, like,
I don't know what's going to happen. You know, like, he's looking at the school. He's like, I don't know if he's going to leave or stay. I don't know if he's going to be up or down. You think Edwards would have been like, is he on something?
Yeah, Edwards should know.
Mm-hmm. He says, I feel guilty because sometimes I wish he would just go away and never come back.
Hey, do you feel seen?
I think we all need that on a t-shirt. Every parent. And he just wrote, this shit is exhausting. I'm tired of it. He's like, we just need peace. We just need peace. And if it means never seeing him again, that's what we have to do. Now, Jenny, do you think he would feel this way about his birth children? Do you think he's just being a dick because Albert's adopted? Or do you think Charles sees Albert as his real son?
No, I think he sees him as his real son. Otherwise, he would have peaced out long ago.
Yeah, I do too. So that was a tough speech. I felt really bad. Then we go into an even more difficult scene where math is happening at school. And there's a lot of carrying numbers. I don't know what the fuck is happening here.
This is how we did math. This is not that new system.
Whatever. Some dork is nailing it. Some little Jenny is just like, answer's 75.
You then can't do something that adds up to 75 in your head.
Then we see little Jason's Jr. He gets Jen, and he's faking that he can't see anything.
This kid, the younger sibling energy of this kid is strong.
He's amazing. He's like my new favorite star.
He is the biggest dork in the world.
I was taking notes last night, and I was like downstairs, and I can't really see because I'm having colds in both of my eyes. So I'm like,
what's a cold in your eye mean?
Oh, a cold in your eye is when your eye gets all gooky and red.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah. It's gross, guys. I'm just gross.
Do you have pink eye, too? I don't know if I want to come in.
No, I don't have pink eye. But my notes just go in all caps for like sentences at a time and then back to regular. So it looks like I'm screaming. So outside of recess, it's like outside of recess, Willie asks Albert to play baseball. And Albert's all moody and he's being a dick. And then Willie's like, what the hell, dude? We're in our 30s. Don't you like playing baseball?
But first of all, can we discuss the kid, like that younger kid, Jason, is that his name?
Jason's Jr.
Jason's Jr. when he's like, I can't see it. I feel like that's like when I get like new hair products. Like I'll put, you know, like you get like a new shampoo or like a fancy like hair gel or something.
Yeah.
I'll put on my fucking glasses, my reading glasses, which are two. I mean, they're not like a four, but they're two, and that's plenty to read. This type is so small. I still can't see it. Wow. I'm like, I need a magnifying glass for this. I don't know what this is.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to borrow a line from Aaron Martin here and say, this is like old ladies and their corns corner that we're talking here. I can't see anything. I'm getting too old. I have
corns on my feet.
Yeah. Okay. So Jason's Jr., Willie, and Jeb are playing baseball. And Albert sneaks in the back and gets some morphine in his system. Now he's all better. He comes around. He's like, I'll fucking play. I'll fucking play.
This was kind of hilarious.
It was hilarious. He strikes out. 1, 2, 3. Jeb is the pitcher. Jeb's laughing. He's like, I thought you said this fucking idiot could hit.
I mean, everyone's been in this position. Not usually in school in like sixth grade. But, you know, you're at your bar and you're like, I can arm wrestle.
Oh, yeah. I've been there with Timmy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Albert sucks, strikes out. Jeb is laughing in his face. Albert literally falls on the ground.
Yep.
Now, back in class, Albert is sleeping.
Wait, the scene with Albert falling to the ground, that was, like, very Tarantino. It was, like, slow motion, like the pitch coming at him slow motion. Yes. So crazy.
Michael Landon pulled out all the stops for this one.
He really did, yeah.
I think he considers this, like, his...
He's going strong for that Emmy. Like,
would it be
strong.
A magnus opus?
I don't know. You're the English major.
Magnum opus? You guys know what I mean. His seminal work. So, all right. He's sleeping. And I just wrote, does this mean he's coming down? Do you come down from morphine?
I have an index card.
Oh, thank God. Set me straight on morphine, Jim.
Well, I mean... Doc Baker does the index card on this later. But, on the actual addiction.
We prefer you. By the way, speaking of Doc Baker, let me just get this out of the way. Megan, with your Amy being sick in bed gift with Doc Baker looking over me, genius.
That was epic. That was epic. I loved that. So I did a more broad index card versus, like, the symptoms of opium addiction because Baker does go over that later. Right. How did opium come to the United States in the 19th century? So this is interesting, I think. Morphine and other opiates, heroin, etc., trace their origins back to a single plant, the opium poppy. Cultivation of the plant dates back to the earliest years of human civilization, and opium use was known in ancient Mesopotamia. It has been used as medicine, recreation for centuries. Morphine became widely used as a pain reliever in the 1800s, as was heroin, before doctors realized it was so addictive. Oops. Like, the story is old as time, literally.
It's happening again.
I know. The ancient societies used it to help people sleep. Why doesn't everyone just realize anything with an opium in it is addictive?
Okay, hold on. It's not happening in the same way again, because now doctors know, and they're still doing it.
Well, drug companies knew. Some doctors knew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people don't know this.
Watch Dope Sick, everybody. Watch it.
The ancient societies used it to help people sleep, relieve pain, and even to calm crying children.
Oh, my God. That'd be glorious.
So what I found interesting, though, was the opium wars situation. So Let me fast forward. When thousands of Chinese came to America to work on the railroads during the 1849 gold rush, they brought with them opium dens. Opened all over California by 1870s, opium smoking had become a popular habit for Americans. San Francisco attempted to legislate it, make it a misdemeanor. The opiate problem is believed to be one of the factors leading to the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882, a 10-year moratorium on Chinese immigration. So... keep that in mind, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they blame the Chinese for this, bringing it to America.
Same thing happened with Mexicans and marijuana. That's why.
Long story short, right? They blamed. Mm-hmm. But here's what happened. So during the Opium Wars in the 1700s, the British Empire, which you mostly have to blame for almost everything, conquered a major poppy growing region in India. Rather than squash it, because people were becoming addicted to opium, they smuggled it into China through the East India Company. They used the very lucrative trade to buy tea, silk, porcelain, other luxury goods from China and send them back to Europe As a result, opium addiction rose steeply in China. The Qing dynasty attempted to curb the havoc by outlawing importing and cultivation. That's when wars broke out over this. So the British fought the Chinese because the Chinese were trying to deal with an insanely widespread opiate problem. Mm-hmm. And shut down the havoc in their country and get people off of opium.
Yeah.
And the British fought a war with them to keep that going. There were two wars over it, both won by the British, and the second one the French joined in on the British side.
Jenny, that is not the most important war the British have ever fought.
No,
what about Meghan Merkel and Jeremy Clarkson? My God.
We'll get to that. But the most Europeans were against these wars. Like, so the British back home were like, this is villainous, this is immoral. Like, they were extremely unpopular.
Yeah.
Can you believe they did that?
Yes.
I mean, I believe anything you tell me about the British Empire, but that's nuts. Like, could you imagine if that happened now? I mean, I'm sure it does.
I don't know. I mean, I have just become so jaded. I would believe it today. Like, look at what the Sackler family did to keep opioid addiction going in this country, and they're still doing it.
Yeah. Morphine. So, back to now. Morphine is the active narcotic ingredient in opium. When isolated in its purest form, it's 10 times stronger than opium. Morphine was used as a painkiller during the Civil War. So, like, it got brought to the country, like, in the 1840s. During the Civil War, widely used as a painkiller. 400,000 soldiers became addicted.
Oh, like, what's his name? A Soldier's Graham. Return.
Graham. Today, I think this article is from, like, 2020, an estimated 2.1 million people are addicted to prescription opiates and painkillers. 467,000 Americans are addicted to heroin. 26 to 36 million worldwide are believed to be addicted to some kind of opiate. So this is a problem that's been with us since the beginning of time. Do you know where Mesopotamia was, Amy?
No.
It's in modern day Iraq, between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers.
I don't know. I just want to punch everybody in the face when I hear about this.
All right. Well, on that note, okay. End of index card.
Thank you. That was actually, like, decent.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. So after school, Albert is detained and he tells Mrs. Plum he was just tired. And she's like, this is weird. You were up after lunch. Now you're down. And he's like, to be fair, I'm 37. I needed a nap after all that work.
Right.
Now Willie waits for him outside the schoolhouse.
Willie, I think we get a little insight into what's going on with Willie and why he's 37 and still in school.
So Willie waits for him. Together they head over the mercantile.
Wait, because Willie's hooked on sour balls.
Yes.
And he wants his gang to have a clubhouse.
I'm getting there.
Meanwhile, Albert's doing morphine and robbing stores.
Albert tells Willie he misses the city where he had a gang. And Willie's like, do you have your own clubhouse? And Albert's like, no, five-year-old. We didn't.
Oh, Willie, my God. Willie's like 46 going on five. And Albert's like, dude, I was like doing morphine and robbing stores.
Although one could argue Willie's banging Laura.
No, he's not.
That's kind of, you know. So Harriet comes in and she insinuates that Carolyn and Charles must be breaking up because Carolyn's not attached to her man.
No, she just didn't get her contract.
So just then a convenient shipment of medical supplies comes in and Albert offers to run it over to Doc Baker for everybody.
Yeah, I'll take care of this.
And Albert, we see him take it. He runs over to the hotel, shoves it in his closet, goes downstairs and gets some powdered sugar.
Yep.
End of episode, Jen. Jenny, whose fault is this?
It's Pa's fault.
Why is it Pa's fault?
Because what the fuck is he doing? Uprooting everybody, moving them to the city. Like, what was that about? He could have just worked at the mill like he was yesterday. Like, it makes no sense that he left. No one else had to leave. So, like, it's not like there was, like, a Great Depression or something. Like, there was no giant recession on the road.
I'm going to go a step further and say, this is Michael Landon's fault.
Sure. Okay.
Because season 9 should not have happened.
Oh, God. It's so bad.
I don't even know if season 8 or 7 should have happened.
I agree. I feel like the first 6 were pretty solid.
The minute everybody shows up, jump the shark.
Mm, yeah.
At the end of every episode, we look back on theme or lesson, something we take from the rewatch, talk about how it affected us. We call it our why. It's designed to finish the sentence, Gen X, this is why. Jenny, what is your why for this?
This is why I had no kids. When I see stuff like this, Charles, like, you know, 60 years old, crying because he's exhausted from, like, dealing with these kids, I'm like, right decision.
Okay, well, it's interesting because my why is directly related to that. My why is, this is why having kids is a real choice. Because you could do everything right and still shit goes wrong.
That's the thing that's so terrifying.
And you really need to prepare yourself for that and factor it into your decision because this isn't for the weak.
Your shit could still go totally wrong. Like, yes. Like, you know, most situations, not all, but like, you know, you do a job, you do it well, you get some raises. It might not always be fair, but like generally it is for most people, maybe not everybody, but like, you know, like there's a sense of like, if I do this thing, if I take care of my house, it will like be clean and it, mm-hmm. you know, things will be fixed and it'll keep its value. And if I take care of my car, not true with kids. It could just totally go off the rails for no fucking reason whatsoever.
Yes. 100%. It's just something like you really, you know, whenever my kids get into trouble and we've had some spats where, you know, they've gotten into trouble and I will always say to them, like, this is the hard part. Like, loving you through this is...
Oh, yeah. The teenage years are fucking brutal.
Right. And you just have to say, like, I'm going to love you through this. And it's, like, sometimes the hardest thing.
All right, Aim. Pick one. For the next 2 years of your life, 10 infants or 2 15-year-olds?
10 infants.
I'm just picturing Amy... Like with 10 infants.
At least I can control them.
Can you though?
Oh my God. It's awful. I also have, this is why you shouldn't judge parents based on the behavior of their children. Like we have a real tendency in this country to be like, oh, if that kid's out robbing, the parents must be scumbags or not care about them. That's that's often not true.
Right.
It's sometimes true.
Sure.
But it's often not true. And
it's not automatically true.
Yeah, we shouldn't jump to conclusions like that. I mean, there's a lot of good parents with kids who are out of control. And there's a lot of good kids with crappy parents. Like, it, you know, it's one's not exactly the determiner of another.
Aim.
So I'm just going to say that.
45 infants or 2 teenagers?
I would take 2 teenagers at that point. I mean, even rethinking the 10. I would take 4 infants.
4 infants and a rabid honey badger.
Oh my God. Did you see the TikTok with the little girl who gets attacked by the rabid raccoon?
No.
It's like on her leg and she's screaming and her mother comes running out and she grabs the raccoon off the kid and sends the kid in the house and then she whips the raccoon. Oh my God. It's amazing. Amazing. I have to send it to you because it's horrifying.
Oh my God.
But like, I'm just thinking, how did that mother know how to grab that raccoon?
She didn't. She just reacted.
He grabbed it by its scruff and had it.
Like, she probably just reacted.
Somebody was filming this. So somebody's filming this kid screaming and being attacked and not doing anything.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. But the mother turns to the camera and she's yelling, it's a rabid raccoon. And she whips it. That's pretty great. I'm going to put that in the Mimi Bees. All right, Jenny, so I don't have to tell everybody what's coming up next. Coming up next, guys, is part 2. Okay?
Part 2 of this
train wreck.
So
next week, you will have the exciting conclusion to NBC's Little House on the Prairie, New Beginning, Michael Landon's masterpiece, Home Again. All right, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.